choir and also our orchestra, our praise band, and our pianist for the great job they do. Well, for the last three Sundays, I've talked about marriage and the family, and we've got several husbands that are recovering from cracked ribs, so I thought I would abandon the family series. Today, I want to talk about fear or faith, your choice. And I want you to turn to Numbers 13, beginning with verse 27. We're living in a culture of fear. I heard Herschel Walker interviewed on television the other day, and he said, I would like to see our society return to a state when my mother goes to the grocery store, she is not afraid. Back in May of this year, it wasn't the last time I checked the stock market, but some of you retirees are doing that. And on a particular day in May, the Dow Jones dropped 500 points because of the fear of inflation. Inflation had not set in except with gasoline prices, but all it took was the hint of fear for the Dow Jones to drop. And then we have political elections, and there's all kind of fear-mongering as one candidate talks about the other. And then the fear of COVID. Is COVID real? Yes, it is. I've officiated at some funerals for some people who died of COVID. They had not been attending worship during the COVID period. So I don't want you to be afraid of that. But we have the fear of government using COVID to take our freedoms. And that's been an example, especially out west, when liquor stores and a certain kind of clubs were decided they were necessities, so they were allowed to be open during the heat and the peak of the first round of COVID, and churches were closed. We live with all kinds of fears, fear of failure, and on it goes. So I thought we'd go back to an old story that you know, very simple. You were taught this when you were in Sunday school in about first, second, or third grade. And I wanted just to see how the children of Israel handled fear. So turn with me, if you will, to Numbers. And we're looking at chapter 13, beginning with verse 27. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites lived in Negev. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites live in the hill country. And the Canaanites lived near the sea and along the Jordan. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. They're stronger than we are. They spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. In other words, they spread fear. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there, the descendants of Anak come from the Nephilim. We seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we look the same to them. The children of Israel had been delivered miraculously out of Egyptian bondage. They had marched through the wilderness. It had only been a brief, short time, and they came to the border of the promised land. They had an opportunity before them. This was the land that had been promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And after hundreds of years, God said, when we get there, all you got to do is go in and claim it. Now notice this generation under Moses' leadership had heard this story taught in their homes, synagogues, around campfires, about this promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So now is the time of decision about going in. Now here's what Moses did. He took one member of each of the 12 tribes and he said, y'all are going into this promised land. I want you to sneak around in there and I want you to scout it. Listen carefully. Moses did not say, I want you to go in there, analyze the people, and come back with a strategy on how we can conquer the land. He said, what I want you to do is go in and see how populated it is. Look at the topography. Come back and tell me how many mountains are, how many bodies of water, rivers, streams, how green, how lush it is, and come back and give me a topography report. But that's not what they did. They went in and began to look at this land. First thing you want to write down is through the lens or the binoculars of fear. When you look at things through the lenses of fear, the first thing you do is overestimate your circumstances. You go in, you get a cancer diagnosis, and the first thing you think is death. I've had that diagnosis before. And then as you go to the oncologist, he says, well, you know, this is just stage one. And said, our cure rate's 99%. Well, you've been worrying for a month till you got to see the oncologist. This is going to kill me, and I need to get things in order. So we see the children of Israel start looking at things. These spies, and 10 of them come back. They've looked through a telescope of fear, and they spread a rumor throughout the children of Israel, we cannot take this land. And then they go on and give some background. They said, we're like grasshoppers in a land of giants. Just imagine a grasshopper put at the bottom of this pulpit, and how does he compare to the size of that pulpit? But look back at their background. What had they seen? They had seen the 10 plagues that were sent to Pharaoh, strongest king in all the world at that time, where the children of Israel being held in bondage. They're working in mud pits. They're working with bricks. They're being beaten by some of the soldiers. They're literally slaves. But then they saw the Lord come along. They saw fire fall from the sky. The Nile turned into blood. They saw the plague of frogs, cattle with diseases just dropping out by the thousands. They saw the angel of death take the firstborn. They saw Pharaoh take the people and say, listen, I'm letting you go. They saw the Red Sea part. They crossed over on dry ground. Then they saw the Egyptian army absolutely destroyed at the Red Sea. And now 10 of the 12 of these guys from the tribes of Israel come back from scouting the promised land where God says, all you got to do is just go in and claim it. They said, we cannot pass into this land. You think about it, once you've been born again, the Bible says we're no longer slaves to sin. Now, we still have this old nature and we got this new nature wrestling against each other, but Satan cannot force you to sin if you're a born again believer. We have been freed. We have this spiritual power. In Romans 8, Paul talked about God has not given us the spirit of bondage to fear. The devil holds the power of fear over us. Fear of what people may say. Fear of what's going to happen tomorrow. Fear of what might take place. Fear of circumstances. Fear of what will happen if we'll take risk. I got a death threat the other day in the mail. Congratulations. It took me 40 years to get one of those. And it's on a postcard. And they did it like a collage. You know what I'm talking about? They didn't write on the card except my address. They got a newspaper and a magazine and they cut out words that they wanted to make this threat with. And they made sentences with all of it. Put pictures and put Satan and the devil and all this other stuff on there. And then they got very political. And then on the other side, death right at the bottom. Well, the police here said the detectives need to see that here in Rome. And guess what? It's postmarked Alaska. So praise God, we are reaching people in Alaska. And there's one of them up there we're hoping he's going to get saved. And so the detectives here said, we don't even have the instruments and the equipment to trace this down, but said, we've never seen anything like this before. And so Delane says, where are all the life insurance policies? I said, darling, I've got them. They're all in order in there. The executor knows where they are too. And so I guess I'm looking for somebody with a dog sled with a harpoon from Alaska that's going to take me out. I'm just not sure. But the key's going to be if he has a fur hat on when he's coming down the road in August. You know, you cannot live in fear of those kind of threats. When God's ready for you to go home, you're going. And you know, I hope that person, whoever they are, as courageous as they are by sending me something that is unsigned, because of my July 4th message, I hope they come to know Jesus as Savior and Lord, especially before they take me out. Look at this. These people were held in bondage by fear. They were slaves in Egypt, even though God freed them from slavery. They were still swayed. Fear was their taskmaster. The devil says, listen, you don't have talent. You don't have the education. You don't have the experience. God can't use you. You see, the person who says, I can, and the person who says, I can't, are both right. Paul said, I can do what? All things through Christ who strengthens me. Fear brought regret. Notice it brought rebellion with the children of Israel. It said, we just can't go into that land. 10 out of the 12, they spread that bad news and that fear around all the children of Israel. But then it brought regret. Look at Numbers 14, verse 1. That night all the people of the community raised their voices and they wept aloud. You know what they said? Lord, we want to go back to Egypt. The food was better. They beat us with whips. We had to mix up our own mortar and lay bricks. But things were better in Egypt than what we're going to face in the Promised Land. Now, let me tell you what that is. When you start experiencing fear and you're in a crisis, you start longing for the good old days. I don't know about you, but I'm not longing for the good old days. I remember when our automobiles never had an air conditioner. In fact, Daddy's automobiles never had carpet until 1969. I remember when we didn't have an air-conditioned house. I remember going to my grandparents, and they didn't have indoor plumbing. Now, if you're a city boy, that is a humbling experience. And then about every third night, it was time to get a bath. And when the sun went down, they put you in this galvanized tub that they would water the livestock out of, boil some water, and throw it in there on you. And we were on a main highway, right on the front of the highway. And every time lights would come over the horizon, I'd just scared to death. I'd get arrested for running around with no clothes because I'm out there getting a bath out in a wash tub. I don't long for the good old days. Fear also, write this down, brings resistance. He's brought them out of slavery, but the next verse says, the Israelites grumbled. These were Southern Baptists. And look at who they're grumbling against. Look at the verse. They're grumbling against Moses. Are you kidding me? The dude that saw the burning bush, the man that received the Ten Commandments. They're grumbled against Moses. Wow. And when you read there a little further, as they're going backwards, they're saying, why is the Lord bringing us this place? And why are we going to have to face the giants? Is it because God doesn't love me? Is it because I'm out of the will of God? No. They were right where God wanted them, right at the brink of going into the promised land. God allows us to get in these situations because he wants to grow our faith. I think the most frightening times I've ever experienced when I've got to make a decision, either for the church, for the ministries, or for me personally, is when God just don't say anything. And then finally, the only thing God says is just trust me. Just take the step of faith and trust me. I will never learn to be what God wants me to be until I'm tested on the ground of battle. Last winter in Texas, the weather was severe. They had ice storms, snow. And if you've ever lived in Texas, you know what a blue norther is. Well, the people were grumbling and complaining out in Texas about the weather. You know, when you have heavy, cold weather, everything just turns brown. Everything's just dead looking. It looks ugly in our eyes. Well, a horticulturist from Texas A&M said this. He said, "We tell people to learn to like ugly. Nobody wants to hear it, but it's true. The outdoors will be ugly for a while." And then he says, "And a lot of life during this pandemic has been downright ugly as well. We can keep getting upset about ugly or alter our perspective and accept the ugliness while anticipating new beginnings." When God takes us to the other side. Now notice the second thing, the view of your future through the binoculars of faith. I want us to notice the difference of looking through the lenses of faith rather than fear. And you see what happens is you're starting to see things from God's perspective. Now there were two spies who said, "We can do it." And that was Joshua and Caleb. Numbers 13:30 mentions Caleb. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of land, for we can certainly do it." And Caleb meant immediately. He said, "God's been promising this land to us for so long. All we've got to do is go in and claim it. Are we going to have to conquer some people? Yes, but God's going ahead of us and giving us the victory." How could he speak like this? Is that the power of positive thinking? Nope. He's trusting God. He's seeing things through the lenses of God. He's seeing things from God's perspective. God's given them a promise, and he said, "We need to live victoriously and just go in and just claim it." The difference in somebody who lives successfully and somebody who's unsuccessful is their perspective. I've known some businessmen and businesswomen who could make lemonade out of lemons better than anybody in the whole world. It were things, people would betray them, people would embezzle them, people would steal some of their customers with unethical means, and they just pray about it, get God's plan, and go in there, and every single time God would bless and they'd recover. If you look through the lens of faith, write this down. You will have God's protection. Not in your outline, just write that down. If you look at things through the lens of faith, you got God's protection. Look what Caleb told the people. He said, "You'll have the protection of God." If you look at the next verse, he plainly tells them that God will protect them. Look at Numbers 14, verse 9. "Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them." You know, 40 years later, they came back to the same place when they took Jericho, and they were told in Jericho, "When you came here the first time, we had heard of you and we were afraid of you." And the people were afraid of them, and the giants were afraid of them, and they walked off and they walked away, and their protection is gone. And that's what God's word says. God's word says we have overcome because greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. Ladies and gentlemen, demons do not tremble at your name and mine. Demons tremble at the name of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of lords. Listen, if we confess our sin and we're clean and filled with the Holy Spirit and go forth with the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith, they have to bow down in the name of Jesus. Next thing I want you to know, not only giving protection, God said, I'm going to protect you if you go in the land. The second thing is God's power. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. We need more people like this. If you're an English teacher, just close your ears for a minute. We need more canners than caners. Do you know that? We need people that are positive. We need people that walk by faith and say, I can, and I'm looking for God's vision, and I want to do what God wants me to do. Why would God give his power to people who are not attempting anything? Why would he grant people power that are not asking him for anything? Why would God give victory and success to people that don't expect anything out of God? Then I want you to write down that faith brings God's prosperity. Joshua said this in Numbers 14:7b and 8b. The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good, a land flowing with milk and honey. And God said this of Caleb in Numbers 14:24. Because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went into, and his descendants will inherit. Now listen, I'm not a health, wealth, gospel preacher, but right there, we see that obedience to God and his promises brings prosperity. I want you to write this down. Obedience to God and claiming his promises brings God's pleasure. I want you to hear what God says. Those who look through the lens of fear, God said this. Those of you who think you can't go in and take the land, he said, not one of you will enter the land I swore with uplifted hand to make your home except Caleb and Joshua. That's one of the most sober, solemn verses in the entire Bible. He says, all of those people I delivered out of Egyptian bondage, all of those I took through the Red Sea, all of those that I brought to this point, he said, you're going to die over the next 40 years before I allow you to go into the land of promise. And the only two that are going to be allowed to go after 40 years of this is Joshua and Caleb. He says, your bodies will fall in this desert for 40 years. One day for each of the 40 days you explored the land, you will suffer for your sins and know what it's like to have me against you. I, the Lord, have spoken, and I will surely do these things to this whole wicked community, which is banded together against me. They will meet their end in this desert, and here they will die. God is a God of love, mercy, and grace. But he's also a God of holiness, and he will not always be patient with the unjust. Albert Rees is president of CEO of Buckner International. It's a nonprofit devoted to taking care of, quote, the least of these in Matthew 25:40. Dr. Rees recounts an important lesson he learned from his father, who was a U.S. Marine. He said, one thing Daddy taught me being a Marine, he said, son, anytime you hear me call your name, I don't care how far away you are, every time you take a step running towards me, you say, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, until you get in my presence. And then you say, yes, sir, what do you want? I like that. He said, you know, when the Heavenly Father calls, we know when He's calling us. We know when He's convicting us. We need to come all the way to Him on our knees. Yes, Lord. What do you want me to do? Joshua and Caleb. Now, if they played stocks, as soon as God declared this, they should have gone out and bought every cemetery in town. Then they should have bought all the funeral homes in town. And then they should have bought stock in the Batesville Casket Company. Because what happened was, they saw two funerals every day for the next 40 years. Until all those people that didn't believe God were dead. All these people, every single one but two, died in the wilderness. And not one of them should have stepped foot in the promised land. Not one of them. Why? Because of fear. You say, well, Pastor, that's Old Testament. Well, it says here, none of them saw the prosperity of God. That's Old Testament. Well, turn to the New Testament. Hebrews 11, verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. That sounds like that Old Testament principle. You want to please God. If you want to be prospered of God, if you want to overcome fear, if you want to overcome Satan, have faith for your family, have faith for your finances, have faith for your future. I wish I could count up how many people have talked to me about tithing. We just can't afford that. I say, well, you can't afford not to. I said, Malachi 3, 10 and 11 says, you've got the keys to God's bank. Every time we all take up the offering, you ought to be singing, I can't wait till they pass the plate. And those of you here that tithe today, you realize we don't own any of what we have. We don't. We could drop dead today. We're not taking anything with us. It's going to belong to somebody else. But it all belongs to God. But He says, if you'll trust me and try me, I'll see that what? Your barns fill up so much you won't even be able to handle it. And you know, if you trust God with your finances and you live on a budget and you give the first tenth or more, you're going to find that when there's a need out here, you see it and you say, well, I wish I could meet that. You know what? When you trust God and you tithe and you budget, when a need comes along, you know what? God pricks your heart and you meet that need behind the scenes so nobody ever knows it. And I tell you what, it's fun. It's a whole lot of fun being able to do that. But you just got to trust Him. You know, when we're born again, we ought to see things through the eyes of faith. Now, Jesus said there are those people out here who have eyes, but they're blind. They're spiritually blind. Why do lost people act like they do? Because they're lost people. Why do Christians act like lost people sometimes? Because sometimes we're not walking with God. But once we've been born again, He's given us spiritual eyes. We've got the eyes of faith. He says you must be born again. You must have a personal experience with Jesus. But He'll give you the eyes of faith if you invite Him into your heart as Lord and Savior. 24 years ago last month, I was considering coming here to be your pastor. And I'll never forget Chris Gidden's dad came to my office one July morning. He came over from the corporation that he ran and he sat across from my desk. He was like a second father to me. And he liked to chew a little bit. And that was not Wrigley's spearmint. And he'd kind of do that. It's your carpet every now and then, but that's part of serving in South Georgia, folks. And but anyway, he looked at me and said, now, son, do you know these people in Rome, Georgia? I said, no. He said, what if you get up there and this thing don't work out? I said, well, through Scripture, God's called me by faith. And if I get up there and doesn't work out, He must have a plan B somewhere. I said, I've been here 13 years, and I said, I don't want to move. But I said, this is going to affect Delane. It's going to affect me. He said, that's what I know. What if everything goes bad? He was not trying to instill fear in me. He was trying to get me to look through the lenses of faith to see if I knew exactly what I was going to do. And I'm going to tell you, folks, when you make a decision that changes the address of your wife, you better know what you're doing. I was reading the other day, and I don't watch Netflix, but they launched a new movie back on March 12th of this year. And the title of the movie was Yesterday. Now, I don't recommend this, but they said it was a lighthearted comedy. And after they ran it, you know how everybody comments and you get 1 to 5 stars? If you look it up, it got 1/2 of 1 star. But it was about a helicopter mom, a lady named Jennifer Garner, an actress, played a helicopter mom. She was encouraged by the guidance counselor at school to host a 24-hour yes day with her 3 kids. With the stipulation, here it is, that the children can't break the law or go beyond 20 miles from your home. Parental no's are off the table. You can't say no to anything your kids want to do. That means they can jump on the bed as long as they want to, till the springs come out. They can have an ice cream feast in the dining room. They could get you to drive them through the car wash with all the windows down. A surprise theme park visit. It was not a great movie. But what would happen if we committed ourselves to nothing but yes when God calls us? Our guide for believers is the Holy Spirit. He tells us what to do. And our job is by faith. Say yes. A lot of fear going around right now. Somebody saw me a while ago when I was coming in. They said, did you know the COVID cases are on the rise? No, I've been in a basement all week with no electricity. I didn't say that. I just received it as information. I love the person who said it. Did you know that we may be shut down soon? I hope not. I'm doing everything I can. Got some people that said, Dr. May, if you close us down again, I'm changing churches. I ain't scared of no ghost. If you hear we're closed, here's why we're closed. I'm concerned about your health. And as a pastor of the church, the only one they ought to have an awe and respect for is God Himself. And I can't be afraid of all the criticism and the armchair quarterbacking that goes on as we try to lead a church through waters that we've never, ever been before. I'm going to trust the promise of God. If anyone asks for wisdom, I will give to him liberally. And Jesus, it says, I will never leave you and never forsake you. And the gates and the fire of hell will never destroy God's church. So I'm asking you today, are we going to let fear, or are we going to let faith in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords lead our decisions in our church? That's up to you. We stand right where you are, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Heavenly Father, thank you for meeting with us today. And I pray that we just be very honest, because lots of times there are things we don't do in your name. Because we'd rather go backwards or just hold the line than step out on faith with our personal lives, with ministry, with our spiritual gifts. And there you are making promises to us. And if we look at things through the lens of fear, we're just going to know failure and frustration. But if we look through the eyes, through the telescope, through the lens of faith, there's victory on the other side. The question is, how much do we trust you? Well, we pray about this COVID epidemic, and we pray that a cure would be founded. But that's going to take some time. We realize that. Most of the time we pray about something, it takes patience to get an answer and see your results. Help us just walk hand in hand with you by faith. Help our church to keep moving forward in the midst of a pandemic. There's so many ministry opportunities out here. If we would just open our eyes and not keep thinking about ourselves and whether we're going to have our seat next Sunday or not. There's people all around that are experiencing this that need assistance that we can provide. So help us to just reinvent ourselves during this difficult time. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus as Savior, listen, He came and lived a sinless life and willingly allowed Himself to be flogged, nailed to a cross, shed His blood, died, rose again so that you and I might have eternal life. Free gift of salvation. Whosoever calls on His name shall be saved. Would you do that now? Maybe others of you already made that decision, need to make it public, be a candidate for baptism. Others of you been visiting this church or listening to us online. You want to become a part of this church? We'll write for you a letter. But don't walk this aisle. Don't call us on the phone about wanting to be a part of this church unless you've prayed about it. God's given you peace, and that's the direction He's directing your life. So, Lord, we're going to thank you in advance for public and private decisions, and decisions that are going to be made in homes when they listen to this broadcast. We just want to give you glory and honor for them all. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Dan's coming forward with the praise band over in the Family Life Center. And then Ted's going to join me right over here at the front. If you're uncomfortable coming to the front, we'll meet with you at the Welcome Center after the service. If there's some need that you have, some decisions you want to make, if you're watching us online, call 706-234-1841. Leave a message. We'll get back to you as soon as possible. Mark's leading us now. You come as God speaks to your heart.
When the music fades, all is swept away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth.